Welcome to Crossroads, the broadcast ministry of Montgomery's First Baptist Church, where you can discover God's personal plan and power to conquer your problems through Jesus Christ. Join us now as God's Word heals, encourages, and enlightens your spiritual life.
I invite you to find Ephesians chapter 6. It would also be of an assistance if you'll locate this simple piece of paper entitled God's Goal, Growing Healthy and Christ-like Families. I started that project a number of years ago. As a matter of fact, let me time date it. It would be June the 11th, 1977. And that's when Mary Ruth and I got married at the First Baptist Church of Jackson, Mississippi. I'm telling you, I'm a wolf who married a fox, so that's what I did. I met Mary Ruth at Baylor University, September of 1975, and we met after a campus prayer meeting. We started a friendship that quickly bloomed into a romance, and then on that day, June the 11th, 1977, it yielded the fruit of a marriage that produced a family. And if you look here on your outline, this is a picture of our family currently. This is a picture that we took at Christmas, and it's hard for me to calculate that two have now become 15. And I say this as a reflection of God's grace to His glory. We have been able to grow a family of faith. Has it been downhill and shady? No, it's generally uphill and hard. It's challenging. You have to go against the grain of the culture to stand in faith. But what thrills my heart to the highest level is that all four of our children, our three in-laws, they love the Lord, they serve the Lord, they're walking with the Lord, they are using their lives to make a kingdom difference. So I want to talk to you for just a few moments about what I've learned over these last years about parenting and growing a healthy family of faith. I heard about a young pastor, and before he was married, he went to a church, and on Father's Day, he preached a sermon. He had no wife or children, and the title of the sermon was The Ten Commandments on Parenting. He then got married and had a child, and he revised the sermon title for the next Father's Day to Ten Suggestions on Parenting. Some time went by. He had three children, and he wrote Ten Observations That May or May Not Help You on Parenting as the title of his Father's Day sermon. Well, here is the great truth. Here's the great truth. The simple truth is this. Your life is your relationships. And if you'll fill in this blank, here's the reminder. Your home is a relationship garden. And we're gardeners in crafting this beautiful, fruitful, fragrant garden. Oh, I don't want my garden to be blighted. I want it to be bountiful. I don't want it to be stinky. I want it to be fragrant. You see, that's the goal of God, is to grow healthy relationships. That's what Jesus said in Matthew 22:37. Someone said, what is the greatest commandment, Jesus? And he said it like this, you are to love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and love your neighbor as you love yourself. And if you pull that apart, you find the trilogy of relationships. You see, once you connect to the God who created you and you understand that He crafted you with a divine destiny to love Him and to serve Him, once you're connected to Him, then we are called to do what? Love our neighbors as we love ourselves. If you do not have a healthy relationship to yourself, if you are not on your team, if you don't encourage yourself and lift yourself up and even like yourself, you don't have anything to give to others. So that's why it's important that you love the Lord and then you love your neighbor as you love yourself. And once you have a good relationship to yourself, you can have healthy, productive relationships to other people. Well, I would ask you this question. How is your relationship garden growing, especially in regard to your family? Are you raising fruits or nuts? The key to raising fruit is John 15:5. Jesus said, I'm the vine, you're the branch. If you'll abide in me and I abide in you, you will produce much fruit. Not nuts, you'll produce much fruit. So are you raising kingdom heroes or the world's zeros? Are you raising champs or chumps? You see, God is calling us to raise families of faith that will make an earthly and eternal difference. And I want to talk to you about how that works. As a matter of fact, I believe the key is found in Proverbs 22:6 on your worksheet. Would you look at it for a moment? And just to harmonize our hearts with the purpose of God, let's read it together. Proverbs 22:6. Ready? Train a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not turn from it. The word train there actually can be interpreted or translated as discipline. Discipline. And here's how I would put it. A parent is the chief discipling officer in the family. The CDO, the chief discipling officer of a family, is mom and dad. So here's what I want you to do. Let's travel through the scripture here and learn how we can do better. Nobody bats 1,000. I don't bat 1,000. I hit a lot of foul balls, missed a lot, strike out plenty, but let's synchronize our hearts with the Lord and with each other, and we'll do that as we come to Ephesians chapter 6, beginning in verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may be well with you, and that you may live long on the earth. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and the instruction of the Lord. Now, here's what I would have you underline, that little phrase, bring them up. Too many people live in a world where you put people down, where you squash them down, where you hurt people. No, there's a better way. Bring them up. Lift them up in the Lord. Well, let's talk to the Lord about that. Would you pray with me? Father, thank you. Thank you for taking these moments and transforming this sanctuary into your seminary. I pray that you would use these moments to teach us great truths that would make a generational difference. So many people live under a generational curse. And you desire us to live under a generational blessing. Pray that you would get me out of the way and that your spirit would be released in this place to take your living word and to make us into families of faith that are honoring you and are filled with your holiness and health. And I pray for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, let's start right here. Here's what the Lord wants. He wants you to be honorable parents. That's what the scripture says, be honorable parents. That is a person who is prized, a person worthy of respect. Let me ask you this. If your child is asked by a stranger and they give them this observation, do you know that you remind me of your dad? Would that child stick out their chest in pride or stick out their tongue and run and hide? Are you the kind of parent that your child is proud of? Are you worthy of honoring? Are you prized? Well, you will be if you'll do these four things. Let's start here. Number one, if you will lift up your child in dedication. Lift up your child in dedication. Don't put them down, but lift them up. Now, Hannah understood that. We learn in 1 Samuel 1, verse 27, here's what Hannah did. She wanted a baby, and she prayed for this child. And we hear her voice, this heart cry to the Lord. I prayed for this child, and the Lord has granted me what I ask of him. So now I give him, Samuel, to the Lord. For his whole life he will be given over to the Lord. Hannah understood a very important concept, that her son, her child, was a gift from God. Now, if you're a parent, I hope you understand that great truth, that your children are a gift from God. They are on loan from the Lord. As a matter of fact, you saw earlier in the service, these parents dedicating their children back to the Lord in the spirit of Hannah. And I would have you understand this great truth, that the Lord has given you these children temporarily, and He wants you to take good care of them because ultimately they belong to Him. Last Sunday, we had a really super sad funeral service in here for a 9-year-old boy named Cam Hughes. That little casket was parked right here. And I asked Todd and Amanda on Saturday, preparing for the funeral, how they were navigating this great grief. Todd said one of the most profound things I've ever heard. He said, "Jay, we fully understand that God gave us camp as a gift for 9 years. So what is your response to a gift? It should be gratitude. Not bitterness, but gratitude. Oh, we should be so grateful for the fact that God has loaned us our children." I vividly remember when we had our first child, Jason Leon Wolf III, born right here in Montgomery, Alabama on April 1st, 1982. Oh, it was a moment. We had gone to the hospital. Mary Ruth said, "It's time to go." And I can remember getting to that hospital. And this is that the season where they were starting to let dads come in and help deliver in the process of delivering that baby. And, oh, man, it was a pretty overwhelming experience for me. And I can just remember we'd gone to Lamaze training, and Mary Ruth was having those contractions, and she was just squeezing so hard on my arm when she'd have a contraction. And I was thinking, having a baby, this is hard. But I didn't convey that to her. I thought that would be maybe inappropriate. And so that baby came. And when that little fella arrived, oh my goodness, my heart was fireworks on the 4th of July to see my boy. I can't begin to tell you what God did to my heart as Mary Ruth delivered this little baby boy, but I'll tell you what I did. After everything settled down, I went to the prayer room at Baptist Hospital. I got down on my knees, and I said, "Oh God, You've given me the gift of my son, Jay Leon Wolf III, and I may not ever pastor a significant church. I may not preach a sermon ever worth hearing. But, oh God, I pray that You would help me be a daddy that would teach my son how to be a Jesus man. I hope I'll live the kind of life that will demonstrate to Jason what it means to be an authentic Christ follower." Well, I would urge you to understand that your children are a gift from the Lord, so lift them up in dedication, and don't do that once. Do it every day. You see, Mary Ruth and I are prayer partners, and every parent should be a partner with their spouse. And every day, here's what we pray. We pray for our children. And I pray that God will protect them. He will direct them. He will correct them. I pray that He would grow them into His image. I pray that He would glow His bright light through them. I pray that He would put spiritual armor on them and anoint their eyes so that every day and every way they could see Jesus and then follow Him and join His work. I pray that they would serve Him all the days of their life. You see, we continually dedicate our children to the Lord, and you ought to do the same if God has given you this great and awesome stewardship of having a child. Let's go to number two. Not only do we lift them up in dedication, we lift them up for salvation. We lift them up for salvation. Please observe 2 Timothy 1:5. Paul writes, "I have been reminded of the sincere faith which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice. And I am persuaded, Timothy, that it now lives in you." Notice how Lois, the grandmother, contributed to the faith of Timothy. Notice how Eunice, the mother, contributed to the faith of Timothy. You see, here's the point. The point is our faith in Christ is more caught than taught. So parents, let me ask you this. Is your faith contagious? Does it spread? Generally, if you come home and you're sick, the people who are closest to you are going to get it. Isn't that how it works? If you come home with a cold or a stomach bug, who gets it? The people who are closest to you, because it spreads. And your faith is very similar. It's a positive contagion. So you transfer your faith as you connect with your family. Susanna Wesley was one of the most famous mothers ever. She was born in 1669. She was the youngest of 25 children. So I guess you learned a little bit about parenting. She married and had 19 children, but only 9 survived. But the two that survived that were the most famous were John and Charles Wesley. It is said that Susanna Wesley never preached a sermon. She never wrote a book, but she was the mother of Methodism. Her sons, John and Charles, they created a method for disciples to follow Jesus. And that method is still around today in the Methodist Church. But Susanna Wesley was famed for this statement. She said, "I refuse to stand before my Almighty God without my children." It was a bold statement that said, "I am going to see my children come to Christ." She was a prayer warrior. She lived her faith. But I would urge you to adopt that kind of mentality, that you will lift your children up to salvation and you will help them come to Christ. It was Charles Spurgeon who famously said, "Before your child has reached to 7, teach them well the way to heaven." You see, there's nothing more natural than for a tender child to give their heart to the Savior. So I would urge you, parents, to share Christ with your kids. Now, I lovingly will remind you, you can't give them what you don't have. You see, if you don't have a real vibrant faith, if your faith is just cultural, if you just have some religion and you don't have a relationship with the Lord, you have nothing to give. So check your own heart, start there. And then when you have a relationship to the Lord, talk with your children about Him naturally in the same way you talk about football, or you talk about sports, or you talk about a good meal or a good movie that you've seen, or the family dynamic. Talk naturally about Jesus. The flavor of our home was a Jesus home. We always talked about the Lord. I would tell at night the children the Jesus stories. We would focus on Jesus. And may I lovingly, finally remind you, never forfeit the high and holy privilege of leading your child to Christ. Don't let somebody else do that. That is your ultimate task and privilege. Well, let's go to number 3. You see, lift them up through correction. Lift them up through correction. Discipline your son, it says in Proverbs 19, for in that there is hope. Do not be a willing party to his death. Make this note, Proverbs 23:14. Do not hold back discipline for a child. Your punishment will deliver him from destruction. Listen to Proverbs 22:15. Foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. The rod of discipline will remove it from him. Hebrews 12:6 says, those the Lord loves, he disciplines. So the Bible clearly underlines the fact that children crave correction. Children crave boundaries. They crave limits. So it's very important as parents that we set appropriate, reasonable limits. The theme of our parenting throughout the years has been this simple: choices have consequences. Choices have consequences. That's an immutable law of this world. And if you make good choices, you're going to have good consequences. If you make bad choices, you're going to reap a bad harvest. Choices have consequences. And so you've got to convey that to little children, because that will follow them throughout their life. If you work hard in school and make good grades, you're going to get rewards. If you work hard in your labor and your endeavors, you're going to get rewards. But if you don't show up to work, they're not going to give you the paycheck. If you disrespect coaches and police, you're going to have a problem with life. And eventually, your choices will have consequences that last for eternity. So it's imperative that you hammer home into a child's heart that there are boundaries to stay within that are protective, because your choices will have consequences, so make good choices. You've got to start early. Well, my friends, start early. Children are like a little green shoot, and they bend early, easily. But the longer you wait, the harder it is to make that bend. As a matter of fact, my suggestion is start in the playpen, and maybe you'll avoid the state pen. Start in the high chair, and maybe you'll avoid the electric chair. I mean, that's how it works. Start early, because a child needs the discipline that only parents can appropriately administer, and always be consistent with it. That's the key. Have simple boundaries and be consistent. I've thought many times about this moment. Mary Ruth is an excellent parenting partner, and her little daughter, Alex, of our four, she's the youngest, and she was the most strong-willed. And I'm telling you, she's a super special person, but when she was about 3 and 4, she was a handful. And one day, she had taken everything apart in her room. I think she had emptied all the drawers on the floor. She was looking for something. So Mary Ruth walks back there. It looks like a hurricane has hit. She says, Alex, we're going to go clean back that room. We're going to go back there and clean up your room. And she puts her hands on her hips. And she looks straight at her mama and she says, Mama, you're my worst nightmare. Like, has she been watching Arnold Schwarzenegger or something? I mean, where does she get this? So Mary Ruth just patiently takes her by the hand. Come on. Of course, she's screaming and kicking and digging her heels in. She doesn't want to go clean up. She wants to watch TV. So we drag her to the room and Mary Ruth just patiently works it through until everything is put back up. Now, it would have been a lot easier for a parent to say, whatever, let me just go sit and watch a daytime soap. Parenting is hard work, but you've got to stay engaged. You've got to stay connected. You see, that's what makes the difference. A child needs your correction. And friends, it doesn't get easier when they are older. Start early. Lastly, lift them up by demonstration. Lift them up by demonstration. It's not enough to tell a child what to do. You must show them what to do. Because what you do speaks so loudly, they can't hear what you say. That's why the Bible says, be a doer of the word, not a hearer only. I love 1 Corinthians 11, verse 1. Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. The Christian life is primarily caught, not just taught. That's why it's imperative that we are intentional about modeling the Christ life in the laboratory of our homes and families. You see, we become a living illustration of the Jesus way. And that's what I would urge you to know. John Wesley put it like this. He said, I learned more from my mother about Christianity than from all the theologians in England. Had a seminary professor, and I'll never forget this moment. He was asked, hey, prof, what is your favorite translation? And he instantly shot back, what's your favorite translation of the Bible? He said, I'll tell you, it was my mama's translation. Well, was she a biblical scholar? No, he said, she translated the Bible into daily life. She lived her faith. And my friends, that's our holy quest. Every day, in every way, to live the Jesus way. The Bible tells us in Luke 2:52 that Jesus grew. Do you remember Jesus grew? And he grew in four areas. He grew in wisdom. He grew in stature. He grew in favor with God and man. And frankly, we should help our children grow in those four areas. You see, we should help them grow intellectually. We should read books with them. We should challenge them. We should check their homework. We should be engaged in their intellectual development. It says that Jesus grew in stature. So our children need to take care of the temple that God's given them. It's really important to exercise and do physical activity with your children and create for them good lifestyle patterns for what they eat and for how they take care of their body. Frankly, you need to help them socially. It's very important that you help them have good relationships. When a child meets somebody, teach them how to stand up straight, how to look somebody in the eye, how to shake hands. Teach them how to connect to people. Teach them how to ask questions and have a conversation. You see, those are your responsibilities. People don't automatically know how to do that. But the most important task is spiritual. You see, Jesus grew in favor with God, and you can help your child grow in favor with God as you read the Word of God with him, as you pray with your children, as you don't just send them to church, bring them to church and show them how important the beautiful body of Christ is. Teach them how to serve. If you will do that, I will promise you that these children will learn from your living example how to follow Christ. Well, here's the bottom line. Is your garden bountiful or barren? Are you raising fruits or nuts? Are you raising heroes or zeros? Well, let's pray about it. Father, I thank you for your living, practical word. And right now, I invite you to look
Thank you for sharing worship with us. We trust God has used this broadcast for your spiritual growth and encouragement. If this ministry has touched your life, please let us know. If you'd like to share in the cost of this broadcast, you may send your gifts and support to First Baptist Church. Your partnership with us will help strengthen and extend this ministry and will be greatly appreciated. And remember, when you are at the crossroads, follow Christ.